Hi, welcome to Grandma's Life podcast. I'm not going to get that right anytime soon. Let me try this again. Welcome to this Grandma's Life podcast. I'm your host, PC Ellis. Get ready to laugh, learn, and grow with me as we explore growing old in an ever-changing world. Today is April 7th, 2023, and it's episode 26. Do you think you're too old to learn anything new? Obviously, I'm having trouble learning what I got to say here, but we'll get there. Okay, before I do get started, you know what? I was editing some videos. Usually when I'm doing podcasts and stuff, and I'm sitting here looking, and I always try to make sure the bed is made, and even if it looks a little bit messy because there's pillows on top of it and stuff, but I didn't realize that my nasty towels hang from the windows, and it's my fault. It's one of those things is I thought when we moved in here that I was going to be completely renovating all this stuff very quickly and getting it done. And I didn't want to put up curtains to have to take them down. I didn't want to hang up pictures to take them down. So I just threw some old towels up there to cover them up. Well, I haven't done it yet. So I did buy some curtains. I've got some curtain rods, and hopefully in the next couple of days, hopefully by the time you see anything else that I've recorded in here, I will have nice curtains up there hanging up, and it won't look so temporary and cheap, and I don't know. It just looks bad, and I didn't realize it. I don't pay attention to some things sometimes. Farm happenings. Okay. I bought a different kind of fencing set for my pigs. One of the pigs, I do electric net fencing from Premier One. Works real good for the chickens. You know, it is a little bit, because it's taller, it is a little difficult to move around, but I do okay with it. The one pig fence I bought, I like it. It has done a good job. It's held up. It's because it's shorter, it's easier to maneuver and all that. This other one, I don't know what I did differently or what I bought wrong, but the first thing is when we first got Oscar Meyer, and he was tearing up the fence to get to the girls, because and I was trying to keep them separated from each other, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to quarantine animals, and I had him in one, and he just shredded it. And I've tried a couple times to repair it and make it where it's fixable again, but it's kind of wonky. And honestly, if the pigs gave it any thought at all, they could get out anytime they want to, and when they move the pig hut around, they do get out actually. So I didn't want to try to there are parts of that one I can't repair at all. So I needed to do something different. And I know that when I first got two of the three pigs that I have now, they were trained to just a single wire. I already had the power charger, the solar charger for the fencing. And, I just needed to buy the poles and the cord or whatever you call it and connectors and stuff like that. So that's what I did yesterday. I don't know if we're going to be able to get it up this weekend or not. The guy was really nice. I told him, I said, look, I don't know what I'm doing, but this is what I'm thinking about doing. And what do you suggest? And so he was real good to me. And I think we're going to be able to do it pretty good. I mean, if you think about it, a lot of people that you even watch on YouTube, they know what they're doing, but there are aspects of it I'm not quite sure about yet, so I'm going to be experimenting with it, I guess. Podmatch. I've started recently working with called Podmatch. It's pretty cool. I've spent the week off and on trying to get set up my profile. Podmatch is like if you have a podcast and you want to find other people to interview, you can go to Podmatch. I think it's podmatch.com and set up your profile. Well, yeah, you need to set up your own profile regardless. And you can also look for people to interview. And the reverse, you could sign up for as a interviewer, you can sign up as an interviewee, or you can sign up for both. You know, some people do not only go on other people's podcasts, but they have guests too. I'm not ready for guests yet. I'm still trying to learn what I'm doing, but it's been kind of cool. But that's what I've been working on all week, because there's several aspects. You want to have enough information out there to where others can make decisions on whether they want you on their podcast or not. But then you also try and figure out what is your message you want to put out there and all that other stuff. And I may spend a little bit of time with a coach to hone it in, make sure I got it right. I did get something up because I'm one of those is like, I want to get it up, I want to get it done. Let's get it. And so if I need to go back later and do some editing on it and change it, that's I might do that. But I got it up and I've seen a couple of matches and I haven't pursued it any further than that. Like I said, I spent most of the week just trying to set up my profile. So that's been kind of interesting. So any of you who watch any of my YouTube channel, you know that I'm behind on editing. I mean, I just put up something that was from 3 weeks ago, I think. And that's kind of what it's been consistently about, has been about 3 weeks. And I have decided I'm going to get caught up. I'm going to try to put extra time into editing the videos. I've got plenty of footage. I just haven't got it edited and put up yet. So I'm doubling down. I'm going to start trying to get more footage out. It'd be good for me anyway. I just need to I need to carve out the time to actually do the editing and get things posted and up in a timely manner. And that's what I'm working on this week. Daisy, my mama pig, is much improved. It's kind of weird. If you looked at her, you can't even tell she ever had, like, you come with food and she jumps up and literally runs across her pen. And so I'm really grateful that she's recovered so well. I know she's lonesome. She's over there in a pen by herself, but she's right there next to them. They talk. Waddles and Daisy talk to each other all the time. So yeah, she's much improved, and I'm really grateful for that. I hate that we lost all the piglets, but yeah, it'll go better next time. Eggs. Oh my gosh, guys! I went for 5 months with no eggs at all, except for an occasional. Sorry, the cat. Getting into stuff. Occasional turkey eggs and occasional duck eggs. And then all of a sudden I've got a bunch of eggs. And it's kind of unfortunate about the whole thing. Now, today's been pretty good. I was able to connect with a few people that wanted several dozen eggs, and that's fine with me because I've got them. But at first I had a customer list, and if I had been able to keep up with or provide for them all along, I would have been good and kept them. But because I went for so long without any eggs at all that I lost a few of the customers. So I'm having to rebuild, and that's okay. So I've got a lot of eggs though. Votech sign up. That was kind of an interesting thing last night. It's kind of interesting in one aspect. And this is nothing derogatory toward Votech at all. In fact, over the years, I've become more, approval of it, I guess. You know, I approve of it more. But when I was a kid, in some ways, it was specifically just for how they teach in school. You either go to college or do something, you know. Well, if you're not smart enough to go to college, then you go to Votech so you can be trained in some sort of blue-collar job and hope that you learn how to make it in life and stuff. And it looks like that the philosophy behind that is improved, and I'm really grateful for that. So, Kenzie, I don't know that she wants to go to college. You know, if she does, it'll probably be on a sports scholarship or something, but as far as what she wants to do with it, I'm not sure she has anything. She's got a couple of years to, she's a sophomore. She's going to be a junior this year in a few months, but, she and her friend Cadence, who stays with us, they both signed up for Votech, but it was kind of an interesting thing. I don't even know. I've taken Votech classes over the years, but I've never, had to deal with Votech, and apparently they go through a lot. They had two different interviews with different instructors, and the top candidates actually got into the classes and stuff. And Cadence is guiding something about video editing, and I can't remember what the other one, you know, where she can digital art, I think is what the other one is too. And so I was like, oh yeah, I could put you to work, you know. And I understand that she scored well enough on her interview that I think she was in the top of her class. I don't know how Kenzie did. They weren't talking about it, but Kenzie has been. So that's what Cadence is going to do. And Kenzie's gotten into culinary arts. And I think that one's kind of interesting because the culinary arts in this particular Votech is a new class and a lot of people are wanting in it. And so, oh my gosh, what's the cat get into now? He's probably trying to tear up my curtains that I just bought. But So Kenzie got chosen for the culinary arts class, and they're both excited about it. It was funny though, because a few weeks ago, each of them got a letter in the mail, and that said that they had been chosen, and this is the signing day, and kind of like for going to college, you know, like if you're a football player or a softball player or something like that, it's a signing day, and it's a ceremony, and they take pictures. And sure enough, that's what we did last night. I took both girls out to the Votech Center, and there's lots of people out there, and they had, I think, 4 or 5 different tables set up for people to do signatures, and it was cool because it was the three of us. So when Cadence went, Cadence sat in the middle, and Kenzie and I flanked her. And the first picture they took, what is the cat doing? I'm sorry, she's really being he's really being distracting though. Okay. Refocus, ignore the cat. But so we flanked Cadence. The first pictures, we're all looking at the camera smiling. Second, we have to sit down and look at them while they're signing their paper. And so we did the same thing with Kenzie when we found her instructor. So that was good. I'm having trouble. I couldn't ignore the cat. You know, and I have feel bad about this because, okay, if I'm on camera all the time, like with my videos, seeing stuff in the background or me laughing about it or something like that, it's not that big deal. But on audio, I mean, here, yeah, I'm I have this on set on two ways. You can either look at me while I'm talking on the YouTube channel, or you can listen to me within your ears. Well, if I'm just in your ears, you're going, what, lady, what's wrong with the cat? You know, why are you fussing about the cat? And so I just need to kind of suck it up, and I don't know. But if I'm ignoring him and he's doing antics in the background, you'd be sitting there going, what, would you pay attention to what your cat's doing? So I guess I better figure out how. Maybe I should lock him out of the room. That's what I probably should end up doing. I don't know. Anyway, for wrapping up the farm happenings, the girls had their sign up last night. It was fun. It was nice to be with them again. I mean, I do get to spend some time with them anyway, but since Kinsey's been driving, I'm not with them in the car a fraction of the time that I used to be. We've had some really good laughs and good times all three together. Well, they do together regardless anyway, but I enjoyed being with them last night and just laughing and talking and sharing a meal and messing with them while they're signing up for the Votech classes. So that was fun. Okay, my three things. Today, my three things. Poloxing is my gym class, and I did just get back from town, did Poloxing, delivered some eggs to some customers that popped up, thank God, and picked up some groceries, and I just got them put away. So I did the Poloxing thing, and so editing videos, I haven't even started on that because I haven't been home. And then I need to pot up some plants. I've got some little seedlings that need to be potted up. So those are my three things. And I don't know if we were, and those of you who are new, my three things is three things that you put on the top of your priority for the day that will get you closer to your specific goal that you're working toward. And so that's in a nutshell. There's more to it than that. But if you are interested in knowing about the my three things, go to Nicole Sauce and her website in Living Free in Tennessee. And she's got like a 3-part series on her podcast that very explicitly tells you how to establish what your overall my three things are. You know, what is your philosophy and why you're choosing these three things and why you want to focus on them, and what three things are you going to do daily to get you toward that goal. So that is a good series, but yeah, like a Living Free in Tennessee podcast, and she may have on her website where you can contact her that way too. It's a good way to help you focus on what you want and how to get there. What I'm reading, we're doing the conclusion of Atomic Habits by James Clear. So that's just not, there's considerably less to read today, but that's going to be okay too. On page 252, gradually, as you continue to layer small changes on top of one another, the scales of life start to move. Each improvement is like adding a grain of sand to the positive side of the scale, slowly tilting things in your favor. Eventually, if you stick with it, you hit a tipping point. Suddenly, it feels easier to stick with good habits. The weight of the system is working for you rather than against you. Success is not a goal to reach or a finish line to cross. It is a system to improve, an endless process to refine. And finally, the secret to getting results that last is to never stop making improvements. It's remarkable what you can build if you just don't stop. So that was the conclusion of the Atomic Habits. I liked that book. It was a pretty good book. I learned a lot in it. And I'm one of those that the more highlighting I do in a book, the better you could tell that I liked it. And this one had quite a bit of highlighting in it. And so that was pretty cool. I'm also listening to Atlas Shrugged. There are several things I was going to talk to you about on that today. I mean, not extensively. In part one, mainly kind of was the beginnings of what they call the equal opportunity laws in this book, and basically it was kind of like one person can't have the big companies; they have to share their wealth with other people, and it was breeding people who just people who felt like they were owed it, or just didn't feel like doing the work, but they still was getting it while the people who were doing all the work were losing it to these people. And so, and like I said, I've said on this several times, this is a thing where we're seeing some of that now, if you think about it. So on this equal opportunity laws, things, how they combated it was different than the way we're trying to combat it now in some ways. You know, okay, like the Budweiser thing with Dylan, was it Mulvaney? Oh my gosh. I don't know who was in charge of commercials, but you know, I'm sorry. I'm from Oklahoma. I'm surrounded by rednecks. I'm a redneck. I'm probably a redneck too. Anybody who drinks Bud Light is probably a redneck, and probably, you know, maybe not necessarily, but where I'm from, a lot of rednecks drink a lot of Bud Light, and they don't take guff from somebody who's claiming to be transgender and stuff. So the different people, I can't remember the name of some of the stars that are just really kind of going off on that. And that's the way they're combating it, like shooting cans of beer and others telling you, here's the list of everything that Anheuser-Busch owns. This is what you should not drink. And so I'm liking that some of the ways that they're fighting back, you know, all this go get woke, grow broke stuff. I'm okay with that because we don't need woke. We need other things, you know, in the book, they were combating it. They were just trying to bypass it. And we do some of that too. If you think about it, a lot of stuff that we have, our own cottage laws, our own local stuff that we do when you learn how to barter, when you learn how to do different things, you know, but these guys are trying to circumvent what is a obstacle for them. So I don't know. In the book, it's a little bit different than what we're doing there now. One of the people in the book, as he's watching his business just dwindling away, and he can't get steel for his railroads, he can't get, or whatever it is they're after, they can't get the supplies they need to fulfill the orders that they have for their own businesses, and they're watching their entire livelihood slip away because of that. And he goes, it's not my fault. I did it for the country. So he thought that this equal opportunity thing was going to be something that would benefit him, and it's killing him. And he's claiming it's not his fault. It's not his fault. And I think my favorite quote, and I'll explain to it. And you know, it's kind of, for me, it's kind of mean, but it strikes, it's me. Okay. The main character's brother and the main character have had several tiffs. He's one of the ones that is woke and wants to give everything to the poor and doing his part. And he marries a poor girl. And during the reception of the wedding, the girl approaches the main character, who is doing everything in her power to get the railroads running in, to get everything going. while her brother wants to give it all away. But the brother makes it sound like it's all her fault and that she's the enemy. So here's this new bride, and she's young, she's naive, and she comes up to the main character, says, "You are evil, and I'm going to do everything I can to change it." And she goes, and she says, "I'm the woman of the family, so deal with it." And the main character goes, and her name's Dagny. She goes, "That's okay. I'm the man." And that one struck me because so much. I struggle with this. You'll know if you know with me all this time too. The Bible says the man is that the God is over the man. The man is over the family and all that other stuff. And I have struggled personally over the years with desperately wanting a man to lead the family, but not having that ability. And so I've been the man of the family. I've been the man of the family off and on for a lot of years. So whenever Dagny says, "That's okay, I'm the man," I thought, yeah, she's taking care of it. She's doing the work. She's doing all the legwork. She's doing everything to make sure everything stays together. And for number one, I admire that. But that line struck me like, yeah, you know, yeah, she may be the woman, but she's the man. And that's me. And I'm not transgender. I'm not, you know, having trouble dealing with masculinity or anything like that. It's just somebody has to lead the family. Somebody has to. Somebody. And so if the spouse is unwilling or unable to lead the family, and I'm going to do a podcast on that pretty soon, I think, because there are instances of good, godly families where the man, for one reason or another, just can't be the head of the family. And so that's what the woman's job is. And whatever, I think, what's a quote I heard years and years ago? What's a woman? What is a woman's job? Is it basically everything that a man won't do? It's like, yep, that's the truth. So that was kind of my feelings. Oh, the one thing I have kind of my feelings as I finished part one is Dagny worked so hard to overcome these equal opportunity laws, worked so hard to obtain the materials that she needed to get what she's doing. And she in the helplessness and hopelessness toward the end of part one left me really sad that she worked so hard and she's seeing it basically slip away anyway. So maybe part two will be a little more hopeful. I don't know. We'll have to see. Okay. My quote of the day. I forgot to look up find out who Raymond Lindquist is, but Raymond Lindquist says, "Courage is the power to let go of the familiar." So courage does not necessarily mean that you have to stare down somebody with a gun or take on, or, you know, square off with a dog coming after your kids or anything like that. Just, courage is the power to let go of the familiar. Sometimes that's all it boils down to. All right. My scripture of the day is Matthew 5:44. "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Think about it, guys. Think about all the stuff. Think about what's going on with Trump right now. What's thinking about abortion activists, transgender activists. I can't even tell you, like, people who are shooting each other up in the name of what they feel is important to them. And if you ask them, what is the basis of it? They really can't give you a definitive answer. You know, there's a lot of really significant unrest right now. And you may not hate them, but they hate you. If you believe in abortion, a lot of people who don't hate those who do. If you are a transgender activist, there's a lot of straight people who hate you. It goes both ways. We can't just say that the left is all crazy and stuff. And even though I believe it has been kind of skewed, you know, like with the January 6th thing. Yeah, one end of the building was violent. And the other end of the building, they're letting open the doors for them and everything was not violent. But if you watch one news station, they're telling you all about the violence and the other one's not. You know, so everything, it's just like Tim Pool says, it really does feel like we're going into a civil war, and that breaks my heart. But basically what I'm trying to say, though, is the Bible says to pray for your enemies, don't hate them. And I think that might be a little bit hard if they have a very specific point of view in any area and somebody is adamantly going against you on it. It might be hard to pray for them, but that's the Bible tells you that's what you need to be doing. All right, my main subject for the day is, are you too old to learn? Do you really feel like you're too old to learn? And I will attest that getting older makes it more difficult to learn. But I've also put it in every bit of my power to continue to learn as much as I can in every aspect of my life that I can. My dad was brilliant, totally, completely brilliant. But it was kind of funny. He told me one time years ago that when he graduated college, he never wanted to read another book again. He never did. I mean, he'd open a children's manual, which is the old manuals that help you fix cars. And he would look in them and he would use them for reference. I mean, he did reference stuff, but as far as reading a book from cover to cover, whether for self-improvement or for just for the fun of reading a novel or something, he did not. And I think that's sad because, well, for one thing, I love to read. Obviously, as you can tell, if you watch any of my, or listen to any of my podcasts, I love to read and I love to learn. And Dad did not. He did not want to. Now, that in that case, I don't think that was necessarily an age thing. I think he must have been just burned out. And knowing my dad, he probably was burned out, made that vow, and kept it. Knowing him, when he says he's going to do something or if he says he's not going to do something, you better understand that's the way it is. And that, but in that specific instance, you go, well, that's kind of sad, though. But that's, you know, that's what he did. Mom, now she still reads. She likes her. She loves science fiction. She loves murder mysteries. She loves all that stuff. So she reads a lot. But when it comes to like television or anything like that, she needs to know how to turn it on, mute, change the channel. That stuff. She may know how to record stuff by now, but you try to explain to her how to click on the icon for YouTube so that she can watch videos instead of, because she's always complaining, oh, television stinks. I'm so tired of television. I said, well, Mom, do YouTube then. I don't know how to start. I don't know how to start it up. You know, your brother's tried several times to teach me, you know, so. And all of you guys know it's not that difficult now. And she's 81 now, but she wasn't 81 whenever she first started saying that stuff. So she was considerably younger. And you see people now, this is, oh, I'd really like to do this, or I'd really like to do that, but I'm getting too old. And maybe some things, you know, like I'm 60. I would not, if I always had a dream to go to nursing school, I don't. In fact, whenever I was in college in my 30s, they said, oh, what are you going to be, a teacher or a nurse? I'm going, neither one of those, that's for sure. I do not have the personality for either one of those vocations. So, but if you still want to go to school just to learn, you don't know, go to school, whatever you want to do. What I'm saying is, don't think that you're too old to learn. Understand that you might have some trouble learning it. Understand that you might have to have somebody explain it to you multiple times. You might have to read it multiple times, but you can learn. And when you do learn, chances are real good that you will you can utilize it, and because you've remembered it. I had a thought with that going with that one. I guess I just want to wrap it up by saying that we all get old pretty much. I mean, sometimes, you know, but when you get old, it does get a little bit more difficult to learn things, but do it anyway. I mean, what's the alternative? Sit down and watch television. You know how I feel about that. Live until you die. Learn until you die. Do until you die. Be alive in this world. Be somebody who is part of this world. And I mean, God put you here. He put you here for a reason. And if you're still alive, there's a reason you're supposed to be here. So get about going and living your life, you know. And don't feel like... Even if you feel inadequate for learning, don't feel like you can't learn, okay? Learn. You'll learn it. You're smart. You can do it. Question of the day is, well, I didn't have a question of the day. I got those mixed up with it. So I was going to ask you, and I could ask you, here's my question of the day. What is it that you want to learn that you have not learned yet? I'm trying to write this down. Is there anything? And what is it? And what excuses are you giving yourself for why you haven't learned it? And I'm, you know, it doesn't have to be anything very specific at all. My husband gets a little bit aggravated with me. He goes, well, I wonder why this. I'm going, I don't know. So I Google it. I got to thinking, why doesn't he Google it? All he has to do is say, I wonder why, or how come this, or how old is that, or whatever. And I'm Google all the time, and it's always several different subjects. And when it comes to the algorithms, I'm pretty there sure that whoever follows the algorithm for my Google searches are going, this woman has no rhyme or reason for what she looks up. And that's fine with me, because I look up every little thing. But Tom told me the other day, or he was talking to somebody else, and I happened to hear him say it. He goes, yeah, Thesia, I'll say, I wonder what, and she's pulling out Google and looking it up. He goes, sometimes you just kind of want to wander. I'm thinking, why would you want to wander about something? You know, I like having the ability to think enough to wander, but I also like having the ability to have the information at my fingertips to look it up and say, and find out more about it. So yeah, that's definitely a different philosophy from what my husband and myself. My story of the day, and I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I don't remember. Years ago, when I first moved back from California, it was back in 94, I got to take a job as a meter reader. And it was kind of interesting because I was born in Tulsa, and I lived there until I was almost 10 years old, just like right at 10 years old, and then moved away for several years. Came back to near Tulsa to graduate high school my senior year. And then I just moved to Alaska and Texas and California and stuff. So I hadn't been to literally in Tulsa for several years, you know, quite a few years. I think it was 15 that I was gone. And everything changes over time. The first thing I do is get a job. Well, it's not the first thing. I had another job. That's another story. But I got a job being a meter reader for a public service company. It was a temp job, and I loved it. I had a good time, but it was one of those things that you go from yard to yard and you read people's meters. And this was before they had the radio frequency reads and stuff. And so your handheld computer would tell you that the meter was on the east side of the house, and that the gate to the meter was on the south side of the building or something like that. So, or say, it will say east side, both gates or something like that. East side, north gate, whatever. But, and because I was not familiar with Tulsa, especially the neighborhood, you're going through neighborhoods and stuff, I would stand there going north and east, you know, just in people's yards and doing that stuff. I hadn't been out of training for just a couple weeks. And was in West Tulsa, and I walked up to a house, and there's a couple, man and a woman, standing in the doorway of this house, and they were arguing. And I'm going, hey, here I am, I'm a meter reader, would you put your dog up? Because this dog, it was a Rottweiler, chained to a car, parked in the road. And I said, please put your dog up. And I know it's chained, but you know, you can't have a dog chained to your car. And there's a reason for it, went on, but apparently the couple that were arguing, he worked for the local dog catcher, and he's telling her to get her dog in the yard. And so she put the dog in the house. I went down to the south side of the house, and there's what they called an open socket. These guys were diverting electricity. They had taken the meter off the wall, so this was a live open socket. I don't know if this is information, but to close the circuit, a lot of it, it's dangerous. It's highly dangerous. So even though I tell you to do this, this is what they did. Don't do this. You take the socket off and you take parts of coat hangers and clipping down and close that connection with those coat hangers there. And you're diverting electricity without it being done with their meter not reading it. So here's this open socket. It's highly dangerous too, because it's only, you know, they're about head high or something most of the time, chest high, head high. And a kid could stick their hand in it and electrocute themselves. So my job is to get on my radio, call somebody, and guard this meter until I can get a supervisor there that can actually close up the meter. Well, so I had an open socket. They know I'm there. They know I know now that they're diverting electricity. And I'm trying to call the main office, and the batteries on my radio are dead. And I can't get hold of anybody. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm still in training. My boss is only two blocks over. I will go find him. I know I'm supposed to not leave my meter, but I've got to go find my supervisor. So, but I'm still trying, maybe with my radio, hoping that I can get hold of somebody. And so I went from the south side of the house around to the front. And as I went around to the north side of the house where there's the other gate was, here comes this Rottweiler. She had put the dog in the house and it had gone out the back door and was now chasing me, coming after me on the north side of the house. Literally I've been working there less than a month, and this is my first encounter with a dog. And it's kind of funny. I think I can, in a 3-week training, two of it is how to deal with dogs. Well, I didn't follow protocol, and I won't tell you what the protocol is at this time, but the computer, we called it a data cap. It was a handheld computer and had an antenna and stuff. This Rottweiler comes chasing me down and I didn't run. It's interesting what you learn about yourself and specific things like that too. And I turned and I stuck that computer in his face. I said, "You better get back." And he veered off and something in me snapped. And I start chasing the dog. I said, "I'm going to come kick your ass." Next thing I know, a naked man comes running out the front door carrying a pair of blue jeans. Going, oh my gosh, I'll put the dog up, don't kick my dog's ass. And so I'm standing there going, oh no, he's naked, and where's the dog, you know? But he got the dog quite up. He was apologizing. I really did have to go find my supervisor now. And when I found him, I was going, oh my gosh, you're not gonna believe what happened. This, and you know, and I was like in my 30s, and I'm still kind of high strung, as you can tell, but I was like, really? No. So we went back to, I showed him where the house was. Of course, these guys jumped in the car and left, and all the dogs were in the backyard, but it was like a 5-foot fence. And so the Rottweiler's barking at us on the other side of this fence near where the meter was that was open socket. And the Rottweiler didn't bother us nearly as bad as a stupid little, I don't know what he was. I thought he was a Chihuahua, but he could jump the 5-foot fence. And he was barking and nipping at us and trying to bite us the whole time that my supervisor's trying to close up the meter. And so every time this stupid dog would jump over the fence, I would have to stamp my foot and shoo him, and he'd jump back over while this poor man's trying to work. But yeah, that was. I've had some interesting stories from reading meters, and some of the other meters readers had some stories too, but that was my ultimate meter reader story, was being chased by a Rottweiler and then all of a sudden, and then a naked man. So, yep, that's my story of the day. So, but yeah, I liked that job though. All right. Income producing activity. I'm liking this pod match thing. It's already matched me up with a couple of people. I'm looking forward to doing some, I'm researching the other podcast and see if we are a fit, you know, because they have like search words and, you know, or keywords and stuff, and see what can be matching up and if I can match up with them. There's a couple of them I think I could do with, but I haven't, you know, you find them, you listen to the podcast, you kind of do the, you know, evaluate, could I fit in with them? How can I do this? You know, so that's what I'm doing now. But if you guys are part of podcasting at all, whether you have your own podcast or maybe you just wrote a book or you did something that you have a story that you'd like to share with some other people, you know, think about it. We all have stories in one form or another, and there are lots and lots of podcasts out there now. Just go to podmatch.com, use my link that's down below and sign up. It's cheap. You know, it's kind of cool that if you don't see anything you like today, wait a couple of days, something else will come up. I think I'm still exploring, but I think there's other things you could do to change the search things to either make it more tight to what your thing is or looser to see if they fit in other things. But it's been interesting. I'm looking forward to starting doing some other podcasts. We'll do some podcasts with other people. I have done some podcasts with other people, you know, that I used to be part of the Fireside Freedom group when we were doing that. I've got to be on Amy Dingman's Farmers Kind of Life, Ken Ash's Constructive Liberty podcast. There's been two or three of them that I've got to be a part of, and I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to going this, but podmatch.com, use my link down that's listed down below. And that's my income producing activity of the day. All right, where I can be found is on grandmashomestead.farm. That's my website, and I'm continuing to work on how to upgrade that. Not upgrade it. I'm working on it, make it look nice. Doing more blog posts and stuff. Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel. That's my main focus, but my main focus of all of it is Grandma's Homestead YouTube channel and this Grandma's Live podcast. But I also have another, YouTube channel. It's called Farm Animal Life. There's no words. There's no storyline, nothing. I just put a camera in with whatever animal I want to put it in at the time. Right now I've got almost 50 Cornish cross chicks. And of course, you know, when you first get the little fluffs, the yellow fluffs, they're really cute. So I've been putting a camera in with them and then when I get it edited, I get them posted. So that's my Farm Animal Life YouTube channel. Of course, I'm also on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, on some form or another of Thesia Ellis, Thesia E, something along that line. So that's all I got today, guys. I do pray that you don't ever feel like you're getting too old to learn something. Just understand it might take you longer. You might feel more unintelligent. You might have to make different means to learn what it is that you want to learn. But don't ever, ever give up learning. Just like I tell you all the time, is live until you die. This is all we've got. And when you go see the Lord, I want you to be able to, there's going to be so many things that you're going to have to atone for anyway, but at least the very least you can do is say, Lord, I did my very best for you for as long as I could. And I lived. I lived in the world that you put me in. And now I'm here to face you. I don't know. I don't want that to sound egotistical. I don't mean it to be egotistical in any way. I just know God put me here for a reason, and I need to be getting about his business. God bless, guys. I'll see you next time.